Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Patrick Maloney, tell us about Ukraine. It's a very layered discussion. It's not simplistic, is it?
Well, there aren't a lot of things in international relations that are simplistic, but I do think there are some basic points, and one is that you've had a flagrant violation of international law by, you know, a country, Russia, that is acting like a 19th century imperial power. You know, really what people ought to know about Russia is that it's basically an oil and gas company masquerading as a country right now, and it's run by a guy without a lot of respect for anything besides stealing from his own people and bullying political opponents. And we ought to take that very seriously.
I mean, how seriously? What should we do?
Well,
you're the president. You're sitting up there, and they take over another building or another province in Ukraine. Do you go in with troops? Do you send planes? Do you do flyovers? What do you do?
No, we absolutely don't need to use our military, and we should not. And the last thing this country needs is to get ourselves entangled in another war, particularly a ground war. But that doesn't mean we have to be weak, and it doesn't mean we don't have real tools in our kit. Let me be specific.
Yeah.
What we must do is we must make clear that the Ukrainian government is going to be embraced by the West, particularly Europe. We're gonna give them a clear path into all the European institutions, and we should even discuss with them the possibility of joining NATO. And if you want to get Russia's attention real quick, it's going to be to really ease Ukraine's path into an integrated, free, open market economy and the European Union. And at the same time, we ought to strengthen and increase the sanctions on Russia's leadership. The president's on the right direction on that. I wish he'd moved a little faster and a little more intensely. But I would go after the members of the Putin regime who are enriching themselves at the expense of the Russian people. And if we do those things simultaneously, you will see what you're already seeing, which is a very negative impact on the Russian economy. And you need to get between Putin and his ruling oligarchs by going after their money, which is what they care about. And we can hit them, and we can hit them hard. We are a powerful country. We have vast economic power that dwarfs what the Russians can put on the world stage. And we ought to get serious about Europe's dependence on them for energy. But because we're having this conversation in April, when the weather's getting warmer, it gives us more latitude. I would take a very hard line with them, but I would certainly not use American troops.
But it sounds like, you know, you think that we ought to do this NATO thing, for example, but yet isn't that what really made Putin crazy in the beginning, that, you know, he was now getting surrounded by NATO-like countries? And
I think Vladimir Putin is a brutal dictator, and we should not confuse any actions by the West with his own inexcusable and thuggish behavior. He has done this because he's a thug. It is not because we have encouraged the nations of Europe to have open free market economies and to band together in joint defense. He has chosen to separate himself from the integrated Western economy, and his actions are unacceptable. And I do not believe that the way to get him to improve that conduct is through weakness or through appeasement. But it does not mean that we should get involved militarily. That's nuts. We can get involved economically with Europeans, and we can make them hurt.
Let's come back over here and talk about the Supreme Court and campaign finance right now. You know, first came Citizens United, now comes another major decision, which would seem to me, just on the face of it, to be a 5-4 Republicans to Democrats vote on the system. Do you think that the American people have a taste, for example, for setting more limits on how we look at our campaigns?
Well, you know, I saw a cartoon this morning that I think sums it up. It was a picture of Chief Justice Roberts getting out of a limousine, talking to a homeless family under a bridge, saying, "Don't worry, I've protected your ability to give unlimited sums to political candidates." Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, I think the court is so divorced from reality. For pilks out there who may not know what we're talking about, I mean, there's another Supreme Court decision, McCutcheon, which on top of Citizens United decision a couple of years ago, has further empowered the very wealthiest to you know, kind of buy their way into our politics. I think money's killing our politics. I'm not just talking. I support a bill called the Government by the People Act, which would overhaul the way we do campaigns, that would go a long way to getting the big donors out of this. Because I'll tell you what, middle-class people have figured out that this place is not working for them. And if you can hire a $50,000 a month lobbyist, you know, you can get the attention of people on Capitol Hill. But if you're a, you know, a teacher and a cop raising two kids in Westchester or Putnam or Orange or Dutchess, you know, good luck to you. And this government needs to listen to everybody again. And so we gotta reform the way we do campaigns, and I support that.
Well, what about the Republican concept or the Supreme Court concept that money is just another form of freedom of speech?
Yeah, look, I understand the intellectual argument, but the fact of the matter is I think the court is wrong on both the history and text of the Constitution in its treatment of corruption. I think there's very good research on the fact that the founders had a very expansive view of what political corruption meant, what corrupting the system means. And on that basis, you know, the people's representatives should have the capacity to limit the amount of corrupting influences, money, particularly on the system. And that's just listen, if you had two different appointments to that court, the court would be saying something else. I mean, this court is politicizing this issue. But here's the bottom line. Whether we've got to amend the Constitution or change the court or reform the way we do the process, the bottom line is that money is killing our politics, and it is moving it further and further away from working the middle-class people who need this place working for them. And it's nuts. We've got to change it. And I'm glad we're moving in that direction in New York, and I applaud the governor for trying to move in that direction.
You think that's what the governor was trying to do? I mean, you know, that bill that he was pushing didn't get through, despite the fact that he is such a champion of, he says, of campaign financing. The guy's got, as long as you raised it, you know, $33 million in the bank. That's not what I'd call a fair playing field, is it?
Yeah, listen, it's a common argument to say that those of us who want to change the system, you know, shouldn't be participating in it, and that sort of looks hypocritical. But
I didn't say that.
But I get where you're coming from on that. But listen, people will say that, you know, I'm raising money too, right? I mean, so am I a hypocrite? Well, I don't know. I'm trying to change it. And there's a big difference between people like Governor Cuomo and me who say, listen, we're up here fighting to make this thing different. We would gladly give up the advantages of incumbency. We would gladly give up our ability to raise more money than our opponents if it was fair. And I think he gets a lot of credit for that. And there's a reason we don't have good campaign laws. It's because the most powerful forces in the world, in the country, are arrayed against people who want to change them. And so it's hard. It's not easy. But I give the governor real credit for moving in that direction. And there's a real movement going in New York to have fair campaign finance laws. You know, there's a system in the city that works pretty well.
It does.
I got a bill that would do that on a broader basis. And for people who don't know what it is, it would mean smaller donations. You got to have guys like me and people in power get more donations from more people in lower amounts so everybody can participate, match those, through a fund that is voluntarily contributed to by folks. And make PACs raise money the same way, right? So that PACs aren't one guy with $1 billion. They're you know, thousands of people giving a few dollars.
Sean Patrick Maloney, this is a terrific interview, and we appreciate your being here with us. When we come back the next time, I guess I want to talk about unemployment, okay?
You bet.